Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the February 2022 online Midwinter Home Education Conference.
Hi, sisters. It's good to see you all this morning. Thank you for joining me. I know a lot of you, it's really early, depending on what time zone you're in. But so have you ever heard someone recommend a curriculum to you that you say, I know, and they're saying, I know that this is the best no matter what. And you're thinking in your head, well, it might be good for you, but curriculums are not one size fits all. It's not, perfect for everybody and everybody and each kid in their family and everything. When I started my homeschool journey, I was overwhelmed by, what curriculum to choose? That's the big questions for beginners, right? And so I was reading all the different methods, all the different approaches to homeschooling, all the different mindsets. And I noticed that as I was reading these different methods and perspectives on approaches to homeschooling, I thought, this method works for this kind of personality, and this method works for this kind of personality. And kind of a background on me, I am a certified personality coach, and there is a book written by Taylor Hartman, who happens to be a member of the church. He lives in Salt Lake, and he started a business called The Color Code, based on his best-selling book. And then he trains people to go to businesses and schools and any organization to teach them how to best work together with different personality types, whether it's the workplace or at home or at schools or whatever. And so as I was reading all these homeschool approaches, I was like, yeah, this mindset is like I'm being taught by this personality type or this, and so I thought, it's so crucial. The whole point of homeschooling is because public school doesn't necessarily fit you, doesn't fit your family, doesn't fit your child. And so I thought, let's take it to the next step. Homeschoolers need to know about different personality types and how best to approach homeschooling them, both you as the teacher of the homeschool and also as how you can reach and educate your children through their personality types. And so I'm going to go through, if you have any questions at the end, ultimately, I suggest reading this book. You can see I've used it. I have multiple copies. My children, we all talk about it multiple times a day with people that we meet, and we try to figure out, people that we meet and figure out ourselves and learn more about each other. And it's a really good, I've done it at girls' camps. I've done it at relief societies. I've done it for marriage. I've done it for parenting classes. Some people have a hard time with the idea of using a personality test as a way to compartmentalize people. And I just want to encourage people to know that everybody's personality is so, so different that it's not putting you in a box. It's just more of putting together a puzzle. Each person is their own puzzle. In fact, Taylor Hartman, in his book, he doesn't mention the church, but he definitely, we members of the church kind of can recognize what he's saying. He says, any mother who gives birth to a child knows that that child's personality, they are born with it. And of course, we know that we lived in the pre-existence before. We know that we existed before we existed in our bodies, right? Here on earth. So our personalities are eternal with us. And so it's very much helping us discover who we are and how that plays in our relationships and in our roles as we are going through this journey called life. So I'm going to jump into my PowerPoint here, because what I'm about to show you is going to kind of change your perspective on you, yourself, your spouse, your children. So keep this in mind. I'm going to be teaching these different personality types, but I want you to listen with the ears of a homeschool teacher and administrator, and as well as a parent. And, you know, if you have the bandwidth this morning, you can think about it in terms of your spouse or your coworkers or all the people that play a role in your life. It helps you figure them out. So with the color code specifically, there are four different types of personalities. There's red, blue, white. I know it looks gray, but can't put white on a white screen. So there's white and then there's yellow. So that's kind of where I'm going to be starting from. I'll dive deeper into what each of those mean in just a sec. So behavior, the reason I like this personality test, I know that there are some businesses and companies that do the Myers-Briggs personality test. And of course, you've been on Facebook, what Disney princess are you? You know, things like that. So, but what I want to emphasize is the behaviors that we do are on the external. They're on the surface. They're what we do on the outwards. They can be modified, going on diets, having an exercise routine. There are our daily habits. Those are our actions. Those are what we do on the surface outside. But when you talk about our personalities, and more specifically, our motives behind what we do, that is so much a bigger part of who we are. The motive behind why. The motive behind it. Honestly, as I hear my children speak or my husband speak or anybody, they will say these trigger sentiments that I'll say that was spoken through their personality motive. Even just anything during the day. Everything we do is kind of filtered through this driving core motive. Our environment, everybody has their own environment. Everybody has their own level of education. They all have, you know, if they're ADHD or if they're dyslexic or if they have autism or if they're the oldest versus the youngest or if they come from a real broken, horrible childhood or if they come from a real solid, you know, whatever childhood. So everything, those all are kind of filtered through this driving core motive that everyone has kind of built in. It's what we came with when we came to Earth. So let me talk more about what these driving core motives are. So there are four different personality types. Four reds, we've categorized it into different colors just to make it more memorable, easier to remember. So for reds, they crave power, or I might also use the word control. They are your natural leaders. Blues care more about intimacy or person-to-person connection. That's what feeds them. Whites crave peace. They just want peace and kindness to be present all the time. That is their motive. They'll do anything to get it. And yellows, they just want to have fun. Fun is their main motive. So maybe as you're thinking, that might tip you off of what your personality type might be or what your children's personality might be. But now when I say driving core motive, I would also say when you are living in your predominant color code, when your lifestyle matches it, if you are blue and you're receiving a lot of interpersonal connection, you feel alive, you feel awakened, you feel like life is at its best. Same thing with each of those colors. If you're getting those things, then you're at your best. Now, on the other side, now we can admire every color personality has strengths and every color personality has weaknesses. And so, like, for example, my husband and I have a dear friend who, he's the life of the party. He's, you know, a gazillionaire by the age of, you know, 20 something. And he's just this driven, motivated businessman. And yet he's just fun, fun, fun. And so we thought, oh, well, surely he's some sort of red, yellow mix. But he told me, he's like, oh yeah, I've taken that color personality test. I'm a blue. And I'm like, what? I'm like, you don't live the life of, in my mind, I didn't tell this, but I was like, in my mind, you're not living your blue life. You're living a red and yellow life. Maybe he admires the red and yellow life. But then we've noticed over the years, he doesn't return our calls anymore. He lives out of state, so we don't get to see him very often, but we'll go on vacation. He lives in Florida. We go on vacation and we visit. And we'd say, oh, it'd be good to go see him while we're here. And he won't answer. Like, it's almost like he's living a stressed out, life, because, and I've noticed that, I think it's because he's not living true to who his true colors are. And so it's almost like if someone's not able to live in their primary color, I guess you could say, then it's like depriving them of oxygen. You might see this in your children sometimes. It's, they will shut down. They will, they'll not act like themselves. They'll be surly and moody. And just like, I mean, what, how do you feel when you are being choked off of oxygen? You feel panicked, you feel anxiety, you feel like the world's going to end. Imagine if that was your day-to-day life, because for some, whatever reason, you're not living true to who you are inside. And so being able to find your true self and your children's true colors, you can help them thrive within the ways the Lord intended for them, the way that the Lord built them. So most of us have more than one color. It is very rare for one person to be all of one color. For example, this is me. This is kind of my recipe of my personality. This is who I am. I'm mostly blue. My whites and yellows are kind of balanced. I have a little bit of red. And you know, what's funny is that I've taken this color code test. I took it in high school in a psychology class. I took it when my early children were young. And then after all my children were born, I became a certified coach for it. And my tests that I've taken over the years have all basically stayed the same, because it's innate. It's who we are. It might shift a couple percentages here and there, but ultimately we are built in who we come who we are from the get-go. So that all being said, let me go ahead and get into what, in more depth, of what each of the colors are and what each of these personality traits are. So I will start off with the reds, because they would have it no other way. They are the natural leaders. Healthy reds are the lifeblood of humanity. They are the movers and shakers of society. It's true. Everyone needs to have a red in their life, because they will inspire, they will motivate. They are the doers of life. Their natural talents are leadership and vision. They are built in. Have you ever gone into a group meeting and someone just cannot help but lead? They're probably a red, because leadership is so built in. It's so fundamentally, they are just built in with that vision of what needs to happen. And they have the built-in motivation and confidence to get everything done. Their core motive is power. And yeah, there are some reds in the world, I'm sure, that just, you know, crave this ha 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 power. But like our former president, I might say, is very red. but so they crave power, they crave control, because they know, they feel like they have special gifts with being able to accomplish. They love moving from A to B, progression. They love accomplishment. They love going to the next step and the next step. So their strengths, every color has their own strengths and every color has their own weaknesses. Red strengths, they are very responsible. So if your child is a red, get out of their way. And they will completely just thrive if you just give them the tools that they need, show them what is available to them, and just let go. They will do it. They're responsible. They're focused. Sometimes that can be a gift and sometimes it can be a flaw. Sometimes it ends up being tunnel vision, where everything else kind of falls to the side because they're so focused on the end goal. So we got to help them with balance sometimes, but they have confidence built in. They're a natural leader and they are proactive. They get a high off of accomplishing and leading others and moving from, you know, A to B. Now there are limitations with that. They tend to appear from other people's perspective. That might look a little selfish. And because they're so focused on their tunnel vision, sometimes that can feel insensitive to others, because they're not really thinking about how others are doing or what's going on around them. They just want to see their end goal, right? Which might feel arrogant, because again, they have built-in confidence and they love to go for it. That might appear arrogant to some people. Now, reds will always be right. They do not like showing their imperfections. They do not like admitting they're wrong. So they will fight to the death to make sure that you know that they're right. And they tend to be impatient. They want things done and they want it now, right? So this is this is what they need in order to thrive. So if you have a red child and you can help to help them thrive, make sure that they look good technically. They don't like having their mistakes shown. They need to be right, which is tricky sometimes. It says right in the book, reds are difficult to parent as children, but just hang in there. When they grow to be adults, they'll be amazing and they will change the world. They want to be respected. You know, the whole, would you rather be loved? Would you rather be respected? Reds will tell you flat out, they'd rather be respected. They need to attain approval from a select few. A select few meaning, you know, the people with the power, maybe the people with authority. Those are the people that reds like to seek approval from. They hide their insecurities tightly because that they don't want anybody to know their weaknesses, because they're so busy with the leadership and the vision. Insecurities and weaknesses are like stumbling blocks. They just don't want to deal with them because they just want to go on the good, solid uphill path. They don't want to trip up on anything that might get in the way. They love to be productive. They love it. In fact, sometimes, you know, so I'm married to a red, FYI. Sometimes, you know, I'll say, look at what I got. I got this done, this done, this. These are projects that we've been wanting to do. And he'll be like, great, what's the next project? And I'm like, hey, give me some credit for, I just worked this really hard, you know, all this blah, blah, blah kind of stuff. And he's like, and he just like gets a high on it. And he's like, and what next could we do? And what next could we do? And what next could we do? They love to be productive. And they just, it exhilarates them. It is their oxygen. They love to be in a leadership position. Reds as a secretary or as a counselor, they're going to be a little frustrated because they love to just take the reins and go. But they thrive off of experiencing challenging adventures. So make sure if you have a red child, don't get them stuck in the same humdrum routine. They love the next step. They love the challenge ahead of them. They get a high off of, let's see what's next. Let's see if I can do this, just to see if I can. So if you are parenting a red, this is, this is how you do it. So when you're relating with a red, you want to present logically with facts and figures. So reds and whites are logic based and blues and yellows are emotion based. So if you're a blue and you're very emotional about something and you go to a red and you say, oh, I've been feeling like this and this and this, and I'm so worried about this. And, you know, emotionally, I just feel like I'm da, 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 da. They're going to not even be listening to you maybe because they want to be say they instead come to them and say, I feel like there's a problem here. I'm not sure how to do about it. What are your thoughts? You know, if you see a problem, then say, I've seen that you've been sleeping in and I've seen that you haven't been completing this class. I need you to get back on that because this is why, da, 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 da. Present logically with facts and figures. And then they'll say, point well taken, I'm on that, and they will go. And that's all you need to do with reds, really. Be brief. They don't need to hear a big, long thing because as soon as they get the point, they want to be off and running again. Be direct, be specific. Some personality traits do not like that. They might feel like you're being insensitive or being too curt or whatever, but reds, they're like, just give me the facts and I'm moving on. They get it. So make sure you articulate it clearly, specifically. Don't, you know, reds want to get to the point. They want to see what you're talking about and support their correct decisions. Now, notice it says correct decisions. There's definitely reds out in the world that can use their strengths for bad purposes, right? So you as a parent especially need to, you know, support the decisions that are great, because they're going to go off and they're going to say, Mom, I'm going to do this and this and this. And you're going to be like, wait, what are you doing? Don't do that. That would be bad. But, you know, but if they will definitely grab a hold of, if you kind of train them, they're kind of like those running cars that you slide back. As long as you have it pointed in the right direction, you just let go and then they will go in the right direction. Let's see. Now, when you're relating to reds, these are the things you do not want to do. Argue from an emotional perspective, just like I was saying. Do not get too emotional with them. They'll get bogged down and they'll be like, oh my goodness, get off it. It's okay. Don't be slow and indecisive, because again, they're go, 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 go. So if you're like, oh, I don't know, they'll probably just check out and do something else. don't wait for them to ask your opinion because they're not necessarily interested in it. If you offer it in the sense of forward moving constructive thoughts, then yeah, they might be say, okay, thank you for that input. I will add that to my work, kind of thing. But they're not going to necessarily ask your opinion because, again, kind of tunnel vision. But that means for your sake, don't take it personally when they do that. They truly do not mean to hurt your feelings. Truly and genuinely, they do not want to hurt your feelings. Again, they just want to be focused on their task at hand. So yeah, sometimes they can come off unkind or unsympathetic, but it's just because they're moving at a fast pace. They want to keep going and they might not stop and think. Again, we all need to develop strengths and weaknesses from all of the colors. Ultimately, that's Taylor Hartman's second book is Color Code Your Future. So, and that's kind of becoming a character person and developing all the positive traits from all of the personality types. That's a whole other thing. So we'll keep going. So when reds are under stress, if you see your red child struggling, this is what will show up. They will delegate. Reds are natural delegators. My six-year-old daughter is a red. She's the youngest of the family. Not that you could ever tell, because she's like, Mom, you go get me a snack while I go get my book. Okay. So many times a day I have to remind her, no, I am the mom. I'm the one that gives instructions. But it's just built into them. No, when reds are under stress, they will demand things. They want things done now, and they do not understand why no one else is up to the speed that they want, which will cause stress in others. Definitely, definitely reds will cause stress in others. But that just means that they're also stressing. They're very task dominant. Reds love seeing the progress on checklists. They love not just that, oh, good, I have less to do. It's more of, look what I have accomplished. He says that often red people are often in their careers, they're often very wealthy, but it's not necessarily that they like to spend things. They see all those dollars in their bank account as little trophies. And so they're like, I have this many trophies. And so they love the reward and they love showing that they've accomplished so much. So they love checklists to see how much they've accomplished over the day. Maybe you can include that in your homeschool with them. They love to be productive and stressful. If they're under stress, they'll be even more productive and even more successful. It's like lighting a fire under their already motivated person. So, which means they can kind of work themselves to death if they allow themselves to be under stress for too long. And that might make them overly aggressive. Sometimes you need to remind them, breathe, relax, take a breath, slow down for just a sec. You're already doing fine. Reassure them, because sometimes they get on such a high of accomplishment that they forget that they need to slow down a little bit. So when you are homeschooling a red, include them in the curriculum choice. Let them own their education because they will already have an opinion about it. Help them set academic goals. What do you want to accomplish by the end of this school year? What are some projects that you want to do along this school year? And once you get them kind of set up in what they have and what they can do, then just get out of their way. Ask them, maybe you can get this class done before the end of the school year. Wouldn't that be awesome? And that can kind of feed them their motivation, and they will just go. And honestly, they will be very easy if you just get out of their way. Now, as I was reading out the different curriculum choices, when I was reading the 5-hour school week, I was like, this is completely a red mentality of how to homeschool. Get the essentials done quickly, because I mean, as I was reading this book, she was like, her kids set up businesses and then they use the profit from those businesses to like adopt an orphan in Africa. And like, it was just like accomplishment, accomplishment, accomplishment. And I was like, whoa. So that's why she says the 5-hour school week. And it's amazing because it is good, because they're just saying keep school at a minimum so you can do all the other stuff in life. That's amazing. I also think that the Thomas Jefferson education kind of goes along with homeschooling red because it's all about leadership. It's all about finding the natural leader in life. So if you are homeschooling red, maybe these are some curriculums that might help them thrive. This is kind of a funny cartoon to help you recognize a red. I'm not bossy. I just have better ideas because reds' ideas are always the best, you know, and they'll tell you. So, but you can never cross the ocean if you have until you have the courage to lose sight of the shore. What if Christopher Columbus had never lost his vision for seeking the other shore across the abyss of the ocean? So everyone needs a red in their life to help spark vision and motivation within you. So everybody needs to have a red friend or a red in their family. They provide so much value. So next color is blue. Life cannot bestow on anyone a more gratifying reward than the sincere appreciation and trust of a blue friend, employer, or family member. Blues, their motivation in life is intimacy or personal connection with the people that they are around. This is very much mothers. If you feel like you're the natural, Mother Earth kind, this probably speaks to you. They really appreciate their natural talents are quality, so quality over quantity, and service. They get a high from helping others and seeing that others are thriving because of what they help them with. That is really their where they thrive. Their strengths are that they're caring, they're sincere. They can see a fake person from a mile away and they just have no time for that. If they feel that they're talking with someone who is insincere or fake, they can see right through it and they'll say, okay, this person's not for me. I want to be real with someone. They are intuitive. They can kind of sense, they have a really good gift for sensing how other people are doing. They're very, very loyal in the sense that if you argue with them, don't worry, they still love you. They're still with you. They're very thoughtful and they really thrive off of doing little bonus, like random acts of kindness kind of thing. But with every color has strengths, every color has limitations. So because they're so intuitive and so sweet and caring, they might get a little sense of being overly self-righteous. So they will always have the moral high ground in an argument, and that can irritate other colors. So they tend to be overly sensitive because there's so much in the feeling and empathy mode that can kind of be a open waiting ground for hurt feelings. So they are perfectionists. They worry about quality. Remember, quality is very important to them. So they might keep thriving and wanting perfection, which is kind of hard to obtain, So, which means they might always be disappointed. They are worry prone. Worrying blues have worrying in the bag. If you go to a blue and say, well, this is what went wrong, they'll say, oh, believe me, I already know. And I'm already beating myself up about it. So, which because usually it's because they've set up unrealistic expectations. So maybe they're logical white red friends can help them. Okay, that might not be realistic. Pull back a little bit. Let's try to be a little bit more realistic here. So in order for blues to, get their oxygen, get with their lifeblood, like what we were talking, their motives, they need to be good morally. They want to show that they are morally good. Other, believe it or not, I know you think, doesn't everybody have that, right? Everybody wants to be good. Not necessarily. It's not what they crave. It's not their lifeblood. Blues, it is their lifeblood. They want to be understood. They want to be appreciated, and that's huge. If they go through life being all this empathy and serving others and helping others, but those others never show their appreciation, it can really suck out their oxygen pretty quickly. They need to be accepted. They don't want to be the odd ones out because they want to reach out. They want to connect with people so badly. That means that they really want to be accepted. They don't mind revealing their insecurities because if it creates a bonding moment or a moment of empathy, I understand what you're going through because I went through this horrible mistake in my life. They don't mind revealing those insecurities to achieve that bond with someone. They love to achieve quality, again, quality over quantity. They want it to mean something. They want it to be genuine, not just crank out things that aren't important. They want to be autonomous. They want everybody to be on the same page. They want to be they're a really good team player, and they want to be secure in what's going on in their life. They really want to feel secure because if it's chaos all around them, it's really hard to be, the empathetic serving person if they're having to put out fires everywhere. So blues need to have that core security so that they can feel they have the space to go and serve and do what they do. So when you, so if you have a blue child, if you are homeschooling a blue child, give them time to collect their thoughts. If you ask them, if you read a story, ask them a question, give them time before they have to formulate what they have to say. Don't expect answers right away. Show appreciation for their homeschooling. Show them, you know, look what you've done today. You did a good job, and you got, I'm sure they might get stuck in the quality mode and say, don't worry, you've done a good enough job. We can be done now with this project. They might need to know that. But then show that you appreciate the good quality that they did put in. Seek to understand them. They might not be as like clear cut, and they might not be able to formulate what they're trying to say as well as like a red or a white would. So you might have to do more of the deeper dig to help understand who they are, and be loyal to them. They do not want to feel like you're, you know, going against their back, or, you know, not on the same team as them, I guess you could say. But now in the same breath, do not make them feel guilty, because believe me, they're already doing plenty of that themselves. Blues are warriors. They feel guilty. They wish they could have done it better. They wish they could have been more perfect. Don't expect them to forgive too quickly, because blues have the market cornered on keeping a grudge. So if you've hurt their feelings, which unfortunately is kind of easy to do, they might not forgive you quickly. You might need to earn their trust back. Don't promote too much change all at once. So if maybe you were in public school and you're shifting to homeschool, kind of do it a step at a time with them, kind of help them with that change, with that conversion. Don't expect them to be too spontaneous. Maybe they need to get used to the idea before you actually take the first step. They'll be on board once they've kind of gotten used to the idea from this. Let them try it on for size, so to speak. Now, when blues are under stress, this is when they really, the worry just cranks up, which might get them depressed. So whenever you see depression in children is happening more and more these days, make sure that you can, that's a trigger for stress. That is a trigger that there's a stressful point in their life. You might need to have a, if you have a depressed child, you might need to take the time to dig deep and try to understand them. Because again, they're not the best at expressing what they're feeling. They kind of want you to already know, which can be tricky. They will withdraw, they will avoid people. But then they start blaming themselves. But then after a while, if that's there long enough, then they'll say, well, it's their fault that got, they're the ones that made this happen in the first place. They'll start to blame others. So if you see your blue child doing more of this, it means that there is a stress point in their life. So they might need some extra support and understanding. So to homeschool blue, again, show appreciation. Say, I'm so glad you got all of your work done today. Good job. That's really a big, thank you for helping your little brother and sister read today, or thank you for helping them get dressed this morning. Show them the help in the homeschool process. Let them feel secure and then inspire, because blues and reds are both the movers and shakers of society. Blues are doers. They love to serve. They love to accomplish, but especially when you inspire them. But they need to feel the security that first, and then they don't mind going for it. They'll probably read a book in a day if you let them, which leads to my feeling of a blue type curriculum is Libraries of Hope or Well-Educated Heart. It's very much feeling sensitive, very emotional, uplifting type of curriculum. But it will make them feel loved and feel the connection that they are craving. It's a very good curriculum for that. how to recognize a blue. Their to-do list every day is to worry, analyze, feel guilty, and repeat. Okay, but blues, to their own self be true. Blues are definitely so genuine. They want to make sure that they feel good about what they're doing within themselves. On to the next color, white. Whites offer us all a model for gentle human dignity. Whites are more likely the quiet people, the introverts. Their motive is peace at any price. They are willing to do whatever it takes in order to maintain peace in their home or in their lives. They have a clear focus. They usually have a clear mind, and they're very tolerant of people's shortcomings or people's misgivings. They are willing to look past it. They know that there's more to them. So white strengths. They're kind. If you are with a white, treat them kindly. They thrive with just simple kindness. They're pretty even-tempered. You're not going to see big volatile emotion swings with a white. They're pretty even keel most of the way. They're very objective. They don't mind being wrong if they are taught, if they are shown past, and they'll say, "Oh, I see your perspective. I see your point on that. Interesting." Then they don't like reds. Don't want to be proved wrong. Whites don't mind being proved wrong if you can show them why and show them the logic behind it. Again, whites are very logic. They're very diplomatic. They don't mind delegating. They don't mind. They can be very organized if they want to. That's the key with that. They're very inventive. Whites, I guarantee most inventions were invented by whites. If whites see a problem, they hate having to deal with it. So they will invent a way, or they will invent some way to make that problem disappear. So once I was sharing this at a girls' camp, and I was telling them that I was so frustrated. I had a white moment. I was frustrated. I wanted to know how to drain my mac and cheese noodles without using the big colander that takes up a lot of space in the dishwasher, but that wouldn't end up with the noodles all in the bottom of the sink, right? So I said, I just wish that someone would invent a kind of a paddle with a bunch of holes in it, and I could just hold up against the pot and drain it without the noodles falling out. And I said, I already have one of those. It's a cheese grater. And all of the whites in the audience were like, "Oh, that's amazing. That's so great." And everyone else was like, "Why are you telling me this story?" So whites are very inventive. They very much appreciate inventions and how to be innovative. Now, every color has their limitations. They can be very indecisive. They get stuck in analysis paralysis. They love to research and research and research, but then they'll see the pros and cons of each side of the decision so well that they won't really know what to actually choose. But they are silently stubborn. You might say, "Okay, I need you to go do this and this and this," but if they're not motivated, if they don't own the decision, you can't get them to do anything. In fact, I have a sister who is a white, and she came up with a perfect catchphrase for what whites feel. "You can't make me do it, and neither can I." She was saying that in the sense of she knows her house is messy. She knows her house is, you know, but if it's choosing to clean up her house or to read a good book, the book's going to win every time, right? So they're silently stubborn. "You can't make me, and neither can I." But whites will avoid conflict. Oh my goodness. They will leave the room. If there's an argument going on, they will seek their peace elsewhere, which to other people might feel unexpressive. They don't want to get into it. They, in fact, a lot of times they will become the victim because they'll just be willing to give in and let the other person win the argument because they hate conflict so much. But over time, they can feel kind of like they're railroaded. So they might feel detached from trying to win the conflict because they don't want to be in it. So they're willing to detach. They're willing to lose the argument just to avoid it. And that can't be healthy over time. So whites need to feel good inside. They want to feel, you know, that kindness is huge to them. They just want to feel good. They don't need to be huge. They don't need to be, you know, they don't need validation. They just want to feel good. They want to be given their space. Again, they don't like chaos. They don't like necessarily large groups of people. They're the type of people that love to go and talk. If you ask a white a question, they will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk everything that they've ever thought on the subject. But yet socially, after a while, they might need a rest from, they need to be given their space once in a while. They probably more likely be respected than loved. They want to be accepted, but they will withhold insecurities. They don't necessarily feel like they need to put their dirty laundry out to air. They want to please themselves, but they also want to please others because, again, if others are unpleased with them, that will mean conflict. So they do want to do what they're told, mostly because they don't want to have the conflict in their lives. But ultimately, they want to be independent. They want to just, so one good reason about homeschooling whites is that you can say, the solar system is pretty interesting. What do you think? And then they're off and they are deep diving and they're researching in the solar system. Honestly, with anything with a white, with their curriculum, you could just say, "What are you interested in today? Okay, go." Show them, you know, how to do searches, show them how to deep dive, take them to the library and get all the books on that topic, you know, And that can be their education. That would be great for them because they are self-motivated to be independent learners. So you just give them their stuff and just let them deep dive. And they will feel contented. They need to feel content. But when you're dealing with a white, make sure that you accept that they are different. They love to be individually different from others. So create an informal, relaxed setting. They don't need a big, momentous decorations in their room. They don't need, you know, a big official thing. They just want it to be informal, relaxed, easy, clear. In fact, if the hard part about whites is that they thrive best in simplicity. I guess that's what I'm trying to think of. But they often don't do the work to try to create that environment. So you might need to help them create their simple, you know, systematic room, their study space. But okay, ultimately you need to combine firmness with kindness. Sometimes you got to get, you know, light a fire under them because otherwise they'll deep dive. They're stuck in their, you know, world of deep dive. So you kind of need to say, okay, I need you to come back. It's time to go eat. They probably will forget to eat all day. but you need to be firm, but make sure you deliver it with kindness. Show them patience. They'll get there. Once they see the value behind it, once they realize, oh, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I haven't eaten or showered yet today. Okay, got it. That probably makes sense for me to take care of those things. So be patient with them. They'll get there. But ultimately, do not be cruel and insensitive to them because they feel it just as deeply as the blues do, only you won't know about it. Blues will cry and do the big emotion and why don't you feel this way? Whites will just internalize it. And you might not necessarily tell that they are going through a hard time. And again, don't force immediate verbal expression because believe me, their brains are going. They're super smart. They keep going, but they might not necessarily know how to spit it out. Don't overwhelm them with too much. Again, they're really good at the focus, but they might deep dive. So they'd probably rather deep dive on this one topic than be given a whole bunch of things all mixed together. And don't force confrontation from them because that's when they will really just shut down. They're kind of like a possum, they will play dead just to avoid the confrontation. So when whites are under stress, they will close down. They will shut down. They'll ignore everything around them. They'll go off into their fantasy world. Maybe they'll go play a video game or they might like the books that are, you know, the fantasy, the sci-fi, the stuff that's not necessarily real. That's their escape from their stress. Stress. I don't know what that means. I might have mistyped that. They will blame others and then they will blame themselves. So it's other people's fault first because their own world is very logical and orderly. So if something goes wrong, it's not because their orderly makes mistakes or orderly life. So when you homeschool a white, again, they love to research. They love to deep dive, provide organization and structure for them. Make sure they have the resources that let them know what resources they have. When I started reading the Well-Educated Mind, in my research of homeschooling methodology, I was like, holy cow, this is a textbook. It's this thick and it's a textbook on how children learn. And it was just mind blowing. It was great. But I was like, this is completely a white teaching how to homeschool. So if you have if you're homeschooling a white, research the Well-Educated Mind, it's perfect for them. So notice his inbox is full. He hasn't accomplished anything today at work and his boss is getting on his case, but he's like, I know your lips are moving, but all I hear is blah, blah, blah. Definitely the Charlie Brown teacher, you know, whites can definitely do that. In fact, I've got a son that's got quite a bit of white and I'll be talking to him a big long speech and I can tell his eyes are just like, wait, what did I just say? And sometimes he can't recall it because he's too busy in his own world. Again, avoid conflict, they'll go into their own world. But they see everything, they overlook a great deal and they correct a little. Everyone needs to have a white in their life. They're excellent at helping you feel grounded. But happy is as happy does. Yellow people love themselves because they know exactly what they love to do and they will always find the time to do it. That's kind of rare these days. So yellows, their core is fun. That is their motivation. If they don't have it, it's like depriving them of their oxygen. They're enthusiastic. They're naturally optimism. They are life's cheerleaders. They're happy. They're naturally happy. They love to be sociable. They've got to have their friend time. It's super important. they're spontaneous. They love the let's drop everything and go on a field trip kind of kids. They're charismatic and they're inclusive. They want everybody to have fun. They, not just them, they want everybody. Now, that can bring up some problems, right? They won't necessarily commit to doing their work. They won't stay committed. They're very disorganized because organizing is not fun, right? They're afraid to face the hard facts. They don't want to deal with the hard stuff in life. They're unfocused because they just want to see what fun is coming next. And they're very impulsive because if they see something fun, they're going to drop whatever they're doing and go for it. Yellows need to look good socially. Like, remember reds, they need to look good in front of people with a certain important people. Yellows just want to be the popular guy in school. They want to be the class clown. They want everyone to know that, whether they know it or not. They want to be noticed. They want to be praised. They love looking good. They love feeling like other people approve of them. They will hide their insecurities loosely because they don't really want to deal with insecurities. They want to achieve happiness. They want to be free and enjoy playful adventure. That is their oxygen. So when you are dealing with a yellow, always be upbeat and positive. Offer praise, appreciation, encourage them to enjoy their work. Enjoy and encourage their verbal self-expression. Yellows can be chatterboxes because they're just so happy and vivacious about life. So when you're dealing with a yellow, don't ignore them. That's like depriving them of their oxygen. And don't expect them to dwell on their problems. If they're behind in math, they're not going to feel like, oh, I need to do better in math. Blues are very duty bound. Yellows, not so much. They won't feel that duty kick in. Don't totally control their schedule time. They really need unstructured time to just go play. But then at the same time, don't give them too much rope because they will tie a noose at the end. Sometimes if you give them too much, they'll just end up just completely collapsing or just kind of imploding on themselves. So yes, give them free time, but make sure there is a limit at the end. You might need to kind of guide them through that. But when yellows are under stress, they'll check out. They'll jump ship, forget this, I'm out of here kind of thing. They will make light of if there are stress going on, they'll say, oh, it's really not as bad as you think. So let's go escape from our problems in a fun game. Because if something is going bad, it's your fault, it's not mine. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy, right? So when you're homeschooling in yellow, definitely incorporate fun. They're going to be the ones that will need more kinetic learning, that get out the Play-Doh, get out the coloring, help them build a model. They're definitely going to be hands-on, but sometimes you just need to do the work. So make sure there's a reward at the other end. I can't tell you how many reward charts, or I have a yellow sun and homeschooling is a challenge because he just wants fun. So I'm constantly like, okay, how do I make math fun? So make sure there's rewards. So the best way to homeschool a yellow, in my opinion, is game school. There's a whole thing about game schooling. Unschool, let them go discover, go on a hike with them. Let them find, you know, a pine cone. They go home and research pine cones. Let them find butterflies. Let them start a butterfly collection or an insect collection. Definitely go on field trips. I love to get out of the house. I love to have something new and exciting to do, like going on a field trip, like a museum or whatever. Hands-on kinetic learning. They love that kind of stuff. They love to be busy. How to recognize a yellow. It doesn't matter if you got sick, as long as you had fun on the ride, it's all right. He's like, they're all about having fun, even if they're willing to go do the work, as long as there's fun at the end. To live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people exist, and that's all. So everyone needs to have a yellow in their life. They will help you blow off steam. They will help you not take life too seriously and remember to have joy in the journey. And so everybody needs to have a yellow in their life because they're a breath of fresh air. They're life's cheerleaders. So those are all of the colors. I hope it wasn't too much of a fire hose to you, but just know that not everyone is necessarily put into a compartment. Like I showed you before, most people have, you know, maybe one dominant color, but most people have some of every color, but even if it's just a little sliver or not. I will tell you, I have a few friends and I've known some people that are almost balanced in all four quadrants. And honestly, they're kind of difficult for me to understand just because I never know where they're coming from. One day they might be an emotional day. One day they might be a logical day. One day they might, you know, be driven and focused. The other one, they just want to blow off steam and go have fun. You just never know where they're coming from. But they're more balanced and they are more able and willing to go for anything. They kind of blend in with whoever they're around. So everybody has their own kind of recipe for what they have. So I know we're right at the time limit. So if any of you have questions.
So there's a question in the chat. Yes. Nellie says, what color code test do you recommend?
So if you buy this book, rent it from the library, the first chapter, I believe, is the test. And it will see it's kind of a multiple choice kind of thing. Honestly, you can take as much of the test as you want. I think the official test has like 45 questions. You can take as many questions or as little questions as you want, because it's honestly a pretty good array of information. But honestly, if you want a really, really good one, the color code, if you go to colorcode.com, and I don't receive a commission on it or anything, but I really, really love it in the sense that, and it costs money, it's like $50, I think, but it's almost like, I mean, I literally printed off this test. It's so detailed. I put it in the same folder as my patriarchal blessing. I know that sounds weird, but if I want, like if I'm searching for like self-guidance, I'll read my patriarchal blessing. And then I'll say, what is it about me within myself that I need to remember? Or I have this weakness. I have that. It breaks down all your weaknesses. It brings down all your strengths. And it shows what areas you might thrive in. It really breaks it down into really good detail. And honestly, I have helped my brother-in-law with his business. He hired a person who was really difficult to as an employee, and yet they interviewed really well. And so we figured out that she had a lot of dysfunctional traits, and that, yeah, as an employee, he ended up firing her because she started stealing from the company and all these horrible things. So yeah, sometimes it's good to figure out the really good details about ourselves and about the others around us. So, all right. Any other questions in the chat? What learning approach are you recommended for Reds? Read the 5-hour school week. And she has a really weird last name. Don't ask me to remember what it is. But look up the 5-hour work week, because it is amazing. I would almost say Reds do let them like kind of show them all the different type of curriculums. You can say, do you want an online? Ask them honestly what they like, because again, they like to have checklists, they like to see their progression. Reds like to see progression. So like I have a son who's Red, and he likes all of his stuff online. So you know, he does like Khan Academy for math, and honestly for science, he's kind of a sciencey kid anyway. So for a while he loved, like I got that book, he was in middle school, and it was that book that said what you need to know in middle school grades. And it just kind of was a light overview of what middle school science is all about or whatever. So I said, okay, pick a topic from whatever unit, go research and put together a PowerPoint and present it to me. And he loved it. He could do the deep dive. It was his own direction that he owned himself, and he got to present it, which Reds are natural public speakers. So he really, really liked that idea. But also keep in mind, I kind of presented this in the perspective of what your kids are. We as the moms, as the homeschoolers, the teachers, we have our own reasons for wanting to homeschool. And I kind of want to put out there, don't necessarily put your motives for homeschooling onto your kids, because that might not be the same. So I am a blue white and my husband is a red yellow. We have all four colors. So you can imagine what our kids are. I basically have a kid in each color, which means I have to reinvent the wheel with each kid, it seems like. So yes, some of my kids were like, I am not homeschooling, get me out of here. And that's fine. I let them public school. They are doing great. And some of them are like, I don't ever want to go back to public school ever again. So, and everything in between. So you got to kind of, as the homeschool parent, you kind of be flexible. Let them show you where their strengths are and let them run with their version of it. Some of them might need more structure from you along the way, but ultimately they will kind of let you know. Like I have a daughter who has a lot of blue and she loves to snuggle up on the couch and read, because again, she wants that connection with me. She wants the connection to the story. She feels empathetic with the characters we're reading. I have a yellow son, and it is a constant challenge to be like, okay, go outside and find something like scavenger hunt in nature, and then we'll research what you have. He likes to go out. I kind of read the 5-hour work week for, or school week for him, because he needs to kind of just get the essentials of school so we can get out there and go play. So that's, I'm just like, okay, just get it done. Grunt through math. I know you hate it so much because it's sitting down and thinking, but he wants to go out, and he loves the reading time out loud too, because he gets out his Legos, he gets out his Play-Doh, he builds inventions or whatever while I'm reading to him. And that's kind of how, as a yellow, how he gets through school. So watch what your kids do and try to adapt to them. I know it's just more on your plate, but you know, that's the joy of homeschooling, is that you get to specialize and hand coordinate how will each of your kids thrive. That's the advantage of homeschooling, as opposed to just cookie cutter approach in public schools and things. So I hope this was a good tool for you. I hope that you can use it both within your relationships as your student, as your children's teacher, and within your marriage as well. I can't emphasize how much that I love. Oh yes, I have a contact information. My email is Diane Garfield, number 5, so I have 5 kids, @gmail.com. So I'd love, if truly and honestly, I don't charge money. I would love to talk about this all day long with anybody. So if you have any questions to me, feel free to email me. I'd love to discuss it with you.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.